الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك We as Muslims, we believe in having a greater purpose to life. Meaning we don't believe that life is meaningless and lacks purpose. We just roam around the earth, eat, drink, sleep, repeat, work, and nothing else. There's nothing more to life than fun and games. We believe in a greater purpose, which Allah tells us what our purpose is of, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That He's not created man and jinn, He's not created humankind and the jinn kind, except to worship Him. Now when we say worship, لِيَعْرِفُونَ Different commentaries on this. One, that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, obedience to Him. It doesn't just mean worship in the sense that just limited to ibadat or just salah, etc. Rather, obedience and submission. Now, since obedience and submission are related to our reason of being, meaning our purpose, so our reason of being, if you are unable to fulfill your purpose, you remain unfulfilled. If you have a purpose, and you are unable to fulfill that purpose, you become unfulfilled. There's a part of you which remains outstanding. Because the reason or the purpose of which you were created for, or the purpose of your life or of our life, is not being fulfilled. Now, to achieve this greater purpose, there are key obstacles and challenges that are in the way. There are physical challenges, emotional challenges, psychological challenges. Meaning, obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is لِيَعْبُدُونَ So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are challenges in there. Whether that's going to be financial, whether that's going to be material, whether that's going to be desires, emotional. It's going to be that I have to sacrifice my desires for this. There's submission. That can I submit to the will of Allah, command of Allah, when I have my desires on one side? It sounds easy, but there are many, numerous times we can think of where we know what we've sided and what we've preferred. We can think. Now, and another part of that is psychological. And challenges are something which are promised by Allah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ We will most definitely, Allah says, we will most definitely test you. Don't say we will test you, we will most definitely test you. مِنَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ We'll get with hunger, fear, different avenues Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Surah Waqra. But Allah promises us challenges. Because our life is about submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission without challenges is just a person being able to go and go ahead. But when a person has those challenges, Allah then directly after says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Give glad tidings to those who persevere. Sabr not just mean those that are patient, who persevere. Because there are going to be those physical challenges. Allah mentions in there, people are going to pass away. How do we persevere? We're going to lose وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ Loss of wealth, financial loss. How do we react? How do we persevere? So that's more of an emotional, psychological battle. A physical battle where a person will have a physical ailment. A person possibly afflicted with a disease or something, an illness. How does a person react? So perseverance, that's why sabr is a very comprehensive term. It's not limited to just patience. Perseverance, the ability to be able to go through something. Perseverance. And that perseverance, whether it's internal or external. Now there are numerous young and old Muslims in our community, male and female alike, that experience, I'm not talking about the physical and the emotional, but more the psychological challenges. Now despite, people are well-intentioned. When people go, some sincere individuals, when they're giving advice, of course they're sincere, but due to the lack of knowledge, they say the words of, mental health doesn't exist. Or something like, oh, it's just spirituality. You basically need spiritual help. Go, do your adhkar. It may very well be, it could be adhkar. But to reduce it to only that, it neglects and disregards our whole tradition. And I'll explain certain parts of it. And this isn't something which helps. One of the arguments, there's a hadith that which mentions that a person, to the nearest effect, that a person who gives medical advice without being Obviously, nowadays qualification is different. But being without having true and proper knowledge will be responsible. He will bear the burden. So if we give advice on something which we have no qualification or expertise in, we will be questioned regarding. And that was specifically about medical advice. And this is an extension of it, especially mental health. Somebody's cognition, somebody's mind. Now, you know, when you look at certain ahadith, they talk about sakina, inner tranquility, sukoon. What's that part of? The mind. The mind, body, I'm not talking about mind, body and secularism, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about Islamically, how the mind and body, and there'll be certain points where if your actions, your a'mal, do not match your mind, that you can go through certain psychological challenges. For example, a person has doubts in his mind. He's performing his salah, he's performing his ibadat, but he has doubts in his mind. He's got a person isn't able to, he won't feel tranquility because there's what they call dissonance. They're not aligned. So he needs to dispel those doubts, seek help on those. And how do I do that? There are ways. Questions can come. Questions will come. Shaitan will come and he'll place these. Sahaba Allah had certain questions also. But a person, when he has these questions, he goes to seek help. He goes and asks the right qualified individuals to say that, how can you explain this to me? How do I understand this? And remove the fear of judgment. People are not here to fear. People are not here to judge you. Go to the correct individuals in a safe space and you will have those queries answered. Then you'll feel more at that inner tranquility. And I'll give these examples up. On Wednesdays, we have Seelah sessions. And during our Seelah sessions, we explore the numerous occasions in which Allah revealed verses, and the Mufassirun write, this was revealed, Tasliyatan lin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was revealed to console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what do you think? It's consolation. Send something physical, something emotional, to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll give you certain examples. Wahi stopped for 6 months. Abu Jahl and they begin taunting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, your shaitan has left you. Your shaitan, meaning the wahi has stopped. So they start saying Allah. They're saying, your shaitan has left you, and he stopped these wasawis, these whispers. So Rasulullah is becoming more and more distressed by this. Again, this is emotional, psychological, this is more inner. It's not something physical, it's far inner. 6 months of this pass by and Allah then reveals the verse, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not deserted you. He has not left you, he has not abandoned you. 6 months. 6 months and Allah is there consoling. Remember, nothing's been, it's not been physical support, etc. It's been Allah is consoling Rasulullah ﷺ, saying that your Lord has not deserted you. What is that? Support, consolation. Let me say tasliyatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's one example. So many examples throughout the Quran. Second verse of Surah Taha. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. Rasulullah ﷺ took this Quran and this responsibility as a true responsibility of prophethood. That this means that this responsibility is something that every prophet had to take this responsibility on and fulfill it to the best of his ability. Now Rasulullah ﷺ is there becoming distressed at people not accepting the message. And also going there, going da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing the verse, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنِ لِتَشْقَى. We've not revealed this Quran upon you so that you become لِتَشْقَى, you become distressed. Allah again, consolation. Another verse. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاقِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّا مْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَدْ الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. In Surah Kahf we read, Allah reveals this verse. Why? Rasulullah is going there and he's becoming more and more upset at people not accepting the message, becoming more and more distressed. Allah then reveals the verse saying, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاقِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. It's as though you're taking yourself towards destruction, towards death, out of regret, out of remorse, or out of distress, because they're not accepting your message. I mean, he's so sincere in his message that it was distressing Rasulullah ﷺ, and Allah saying to that perhaps you are taking yourself to destruction, meaning you're taking yourself beyond. Allah is there consoling Rasulullah ﷺ. Abu Talib passes away. Allah then consoling Rasulullah ﷺ. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You can't guide whom you will, but Allah guides whom you want. Again, consolation for Rasulullah ﷺ. None of this is physical. I want to highlight this point. None of this is physical. This is all emotional and psychological. And the Anbiya, the Prophets, were not beyond this either. This is a challenge which Allah has placed, and the mind is something that Allah has given us, and there are challenges that come with it also. There's one dua I'll give you an example of. Rasulullah used to seek protection from مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ From grief and worry, from distress and anxiety. مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ Authentic narration. مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسْلِ From weakness or helplessness. وَالْكَسْلِ From laziness. مِنَ الْجُبْنِ From cowardice. وَالْبُخْلِ From greed and from the trials of life and death. From the trials of life and death. But all of these aspects are not physical. They're internal. They're all things that will impact an individual on his day-to-day life. Rasulullah is mentioning that, مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ That grief and worry. And in fact, one narration mentions that مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمَ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حُزْنٍ وَلَا أَذٍ وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ That no Muslim is afflicted with tiredness, with worry, with grief, with difficulty, with anxiety, even to the point that something that pricks him, except Allah is expiating his sins. This hadith is highlighting that these are all, even these all internal challenges, are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending. It's not something which is I've got a spiritual problem over here that, you know, maybe somebody says to you, don't worry, there's no such thing. You just need to do this. There can be many factors behind it. And seeking the correct help. There's a thing called Muslim Youth Helpline, MYH. And in 2022, that was just to help the Muslims in general, if anybody needs assistance. They reported that 75% of the youth, males and females, were regarding mental and psychological challenges. 75% of calls that came for the helpline were all about psychological mental challenges in 2022. This is what they call, this is a silent pandemic. People don't express themselves saying that, okay, some people, you might hear it, yeah, I'm on pills, etc. But many of them, they won't. But it's one of the reasons why we have certain opportunities where people can open up and remove this taboo is the fact that we had one lecturer in Islamic psychology, Professor Skinner, and even the statistics of his that he had is between 20 to 50% of people after the first session, just by opening up, either didn't require a second session or they felt better after the first session. 20 to 50%. And all they've done is open up. Because in the first session, you don't have enough time to go and give them complete strategies. So the first session, within that, 20 to 50% either felt better or didn't need to return for a second session. Just about merely opening up and not being met with mental health doesn't exist or there's no such thing as these psychological challenges. Now, I know people say that, okay, why is it blown out of proportion today? Why is it so? Remember, the pressures of modern society are very different. Everyone expects to be happy. That's another thing. There's a whole thing in Islamic psychology when we study. There are numerous, as multifaceted response that's required, but there are numerous challenges. More recognition and help, far more isolated societies, individuals that live within their own home and on their phone and no communication. And there's a whole aspect in Islamic psychology of relationships with one's parents, with Allah, with the community, all part of a person's psychological well-being, all part of it in the Islamic framework and paradigm. And we're moving on to that point. But our tradition doesn't reject this. I'm not just talking about, you know, it's the 21st century. No, Imam Razi, rahimahullah, he was the first, amongst the first, in his time of the 6th century Islam, 9 centuries ago, he said, just as we have physical ailments, the mental challenges should be recognized as illnesses at the same time. This was 9 centuries ago, Imam Razi wrote that. Imam Ghazali has authored on there. Ibn Sina has authored on there. Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn al-Arabi, Abu Zayd al-Balqi. These are all prominent individuals of our Islamic tradition who have all written on this subject. Now, seeking help is necessary, it's paramount, but seeking from the right individuals. It's not about going to any therapist. A person won't recognize this until he goes into the field. I'll give you an example. I had no idea until we started and you look into it. When a person goes into therapy, every framework or every model has presuppositions. They assume something. Whether it's religion, secularism, you assume something. So if a person has a problem and he goes to a therapist, which is not a Muslim, it will be a secularized solution. Meaning, it will be detached from religion, so even certain practices that we have which are faith-based, they will denounce and say that's incorrect and it should be like this. So what would happen is a form of changing your own identity because of the therapist you have gone to. You won't recognize it until you interfere. I can give specific examples. An individual who is there supporting their family. An individual supporting their family. And is going out of their way and experiencing certain challenges in there. Goes to a therapist, that's from a secular therapist, and the individual feels that the solution is empowerment. And the people talk to them that, why do you assume it's your responsibility? Why is it your burden? Why don't you get them to help out and go start working? The difference over there, it's not pronoun itself, over there the secularized solution is that it's detached you from your own theological responsibility, your own religious responsibility, wherein there is fulfillment in there. But a person is losing that, needs to be reinforced with that. But that secular therapy has detached him from there and is making the person further distant from the faith and assuming the solution is in there. Now, a person doesn't reckon every framework has this. Which is why even CBT, the one that's more prevalent in UK, cognitive behavior therapy, Muslims have had to create a new one called RCBT, which is religious cognitive behavior therapy, because they needed to add this additional element in there, otherwise it just becomes detached from faith altogether. It's not to say that everything is based on dhikr, etc. It's not that. It's that the fact that there are elements which need to be included, which are excluded. And it detaches therapy, it detaches your mind from faith, which is illogical. Now, in regards to this, what we've done is people from age 15 to 35, we don't do younger, only because it's quite difficult to maintain a conversation as flowing and relatable for the entire age group. So between 15 to 35, on one Friday night a month, where we host a program where people can offload. In the downstairs, on that right hole, the female side, the right hole, once a month after Aisha, if you're on the group, we'll mention which Friday it is. Tonight is the first one. What is an opportunity that if anybody has any ideas, questions regarding identity, challenges, personal struggles, anything they want to talk about, it could be anything, financial, anything, or they want to collectively offload, they can open up about it. If they want their own personal time, we can have that aside. But a collective one, because sometimes somebody's experiencing something, but because they are receptive enough to open up about it, many others experience the same thing, and it's an opportunity that multiple people feel, gain the confidence and become empowered to open up about it. And as I said, 20 to 50% after the first session either don't require a second session or the minimum feel better. This is an opportunity to offload. And even if we don't have any, because some people feel shy and they don't want to talk about it, I'll be going through Islamic healing. How can we do in our daily lives, incorporate certain elements to improve our well-being, our mental well-being? So we'll be going through that. An opportunity for the people aged from 15 to 35, one Friday a month. Tonight is the first one after Aisha, downstairs in that right hall. There'll be light refreshments there also at the same time. It'll be a light conversation. It's not going to be a complete thing. It's going to be a whole polylogue, a dialogue amongst us. And we'll explore ideas. It's just an opportunity to explore. You choose the topics and we'll explore. If in the absence of a topic, we'll go through Islamic healing. Everyone is encouraged to spread the message. If you don't know where the link, you don't have to register. But if you register, you can put you can put the topic on there anonymously if you want to do that. Or you can go to the Instagram. It'll be on the Instagram page, on the Facebook page, and it'll be on the WhatsApp group.